what cinnamon smells like, that I'm breathing, that I love. And then I went on to the things that I believed, and I thought to begin with that I knew that the earth goes around the sun, for instance. And then I realized that I actually only believe that because somebody else has told me. And there was a huge difference in how I emotionally sort of received those three things. Are you still hearing me okay? Because I can hear an echo of my voice now.
Yes, I can hear you, Claire, and there is an echo, but I'm not sure if we could do anything about it. So let's just keep going. So what
yes.
I heard you say is you started with things that you know, which is like the smell of cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then,
Go on.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, and I and then the things that I thought were opinions, basically. So it's too hot and humid right now, for instance.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
you said about the emotions that came up with that.
Yeah, well, that was really interesting. So I found that I was, with the things that I know, which is basically I physically know it, I'm completely secure, I don't need to defend it, and, you know, there's no kind of anger or fear or defensiveness.
Uh-huh.
And then the things that I believed, so the things that are facts, so to speak, and that most people agree, I'm not emotionally attached to them now because I can't imagine them being challenged. But I imagine that if there was a persistent challenge, it would be really serious. So it would produce an absolute fear and paranoia that my world, as I know it, is not what I thought it was.
Yes, that is so powerful. Right, Claire, just that insight that part of what the conditioning does is seal our identity, right? And so if that is challenged in any way, if the identity is challenged, defined by what you know and what you believe, then there's a way in which there's a level of disorientation because who am I is so habitually maintained by what I think I know, what I prefer, my opinions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you're not challenged, there's a certain level of resting in who I am. And then when we are challenged, it's interesting because the challenge just reveals the extent of the conditioning to rely on the conditioning as a source of who I am.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I found that the category of the things that I think. So with I know I was completely secure. With I believe I sort of am secure provisionally, unless it's persistently challenged. But with the thing I think category, wow. That was amazing. I was really emotionally attached to the I think category. I know that I would get angry if I was challenged. And even on things that were so utterly personal, like it's too hot and humid right now, I know that I would feel defensive if somebody challenged me and said, no, it's not.
So for you, the distinction, it's just, so it's all so interesting, right, Claire? I think that's the conclusion that we come to, that there's a way in which, you know, cinnamon is spicy. There's no emotional attachment to that. But if you think that it's hot and humid and you're having an experience that makes you sort of in touch with your sensations and someone contradicts that, it's not only a threat to the identity, it's an invalidation, a negation.
Yes.
And you can feel the energy of the conditioning react to that.
Absolutely.
And if we're identified with it, it's like you're negating me. And it takes so much practice to stay present to actually know that's just conditioning that is being challenged and it's doing what it does. And actually, you're giving me a lot more information about your conditioning than my conditioning, right?
Yes, absolutely. I was just staggered about how strong that those, you know, the huge difference between each category and how strong it was, how absolutely life, you know, life-threateningly important it is that people agree with me when I'm not sure.
Oh wow, that's an interesting observation as well. It's the uncertainty that makes the stakes higher, and there's a level of emotional attachment around uncertainty that is just different than the other categories. It feels life-threatening, and I project it is, right, because it's life-threatening to the conditioning.
Yes, it feels completely different, I think, category. Mm-hmm. Wow, what an exercise. That was a fantastic exercise.
And one other point that you made, I think, is worth underlining, right, Claire, that there's a way in which the emotions make it real. Right. If it's not something that the emotional pattern of conditioning is attached to, it's like, okay, well, you don't think cinnamon is spicy. That's not an issue. But when that results in a reaction that has emotion attached to it, that makes it real, appear real, more real. And that's really why we practice so much losing interest in how we feel, because it's not a very good mirror of whether or not we're in conditioning or in authenticity.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
Yes, what an exercise.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you. Bye, Jen.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Claire. I think we got the echo, et cetera, worked out, Ashwani.
Oh, wonderful.
Excellent. I was just marveling at that. You know, you ask one simple question, and with that willingness to just keep looking, we see our entire lives. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we've got our next caller. Let's see who's here. Oops. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Germany.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. So that was such a fascinating discussion just now, and the thing that came to mind right away was when you're eating a food, maybe, and you don't know what it is, and you think, okay, it tastes fine, and then someone says what it is, and you have some kind of violent reaction to this.
Yes, as long as there is no association to that which is that which you have an aversion to, then you can just eat it. And it shows how much the reaction is programming.
I was just thinking that because the question that I kept asking myself was, can I know something without any kind of mental chatter involved?
Yeah, what a brilliant question. Can you know something without the conversation? Yeah, and what? Where did you get to?
It just kind of ended in a big question mark. It's so far I haven't found anything yet.
Yes, well, it is so our experience, because I project what you're intuiting is there's a way in which that without the mind, the mental chatter, we don't know how we conventionally know. Right? We can experience something, but we don't necessarily know it without the conversation involved. There's sort of like an awareness of the experience. experience, which is a different kind of knowing.
Yeah.
Which is a very different kind of knowing than knowing because we're referencing that mental chatter. And that's the distinction we're always making in practice.
Oh, gosh, it just reminds me, what just came to mind just now was, I think Joseph Goldstein uses this phrasing of shifting to the passive voice. So something is being known.
Yes,
in the moment.
Exactly, yes. exactly. Because while you were eating that, before knowing what it is in that conditioned way and all of the associations with it, you did know something. You were aware of your experience, right, of the sensations in your body, of whether or not that food tasted good to you, or there wasn't knowing there, but you have to put that knowing in quotes because it's a different sort of knowing.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's not some kind of local little me in there that's knowing it all. It's just kind of not referring back to a little me back there.
That's right. Exactly so. It's not referring to a me defined by what has been known.
Oh, yeah, because it has to do with if I who I am, if I love cinnamon or if I hate cinnamon. And
right. And I know cinnamon. I know what cinnamon is, or I have known what cinnamon is. I saw this really bad movie once. I think it's called Angels in Los Angeles or something. I don't know what it was called. But City of Angels, right? And someone says to an angel, you don't know what a pear tastes like? And the angel responds, I don't know how a pear tastes like to you.
Oh, wow.
Which makes
yeah.
all the difference, right? Because we don't know. We have our experience if we're lucky, right? If I'm eating the pear and I know what a pear tastes like because I'm referencing that conversation and conditioned mind, I'm actually not present to how the pear tastes like in this moment.
Oh, that is so interesting. Because it's the first time, kind of, that we've eaten the pear.
That's right. And if we were there for that, because we could have been thinking, now this tastes a little bit like that apple I had when I was 4.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so fascinating, as you said, to bring our attention to where the attention is in order for me to kind of, within quotes, know my experience.
Yes, because this might be an example that is for me more concrete in the moment, but when I'm walking home, I watch how quickly my brain or conditioning just decides it's not worth it, let's get out of here and go to fantasy land. If I know everything, but there's sometimes a place of just complete wonder where I just think, well, I'm seeing and walking and this is so interesting.
Yes, 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 exactly so. That when you're walking home, it's one of those things that becomes rote, right? You could almost put it on autopilot. And if you choose not to be on autopilot, that voice comes in and says, let's switch the programming to something that is also autopilot, but you'll find more compelling. But whatever happens, let's make sure that your attention is not here.
Gosh, that is so... I'm going to have to re-listen to this conversation.
Well, if it blows the mind, Christopher, I think that's exactly what we get to in awareness practice, because our ways of being, thinking, knowing are all subject to inquiry, right?
Oh, and it's the best. I love it.
It is. It is truly the best. It really is. It's such fun.
Okay, just everything. I mean, I think you once said that a 13-hour plane ride is no longer torture once we start doing awareness practice, and I've really started to get a sense of that.
Yeah. It is. It truly is. It's like worlds that we don't explore, depths that we don't go to, all open up if we bring the attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Yes, that's about the only place we can go to, right, Chris, which is speechless.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
right,
I'll have
then.
To explore.
Was there more?
No, I'll just have to explore that can I know something without mental chatter question. It's a fun one to explore.
Yes, it is really fun. Thank you so much for giving us all that question. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Christopher. I just love that place, Ashwani. And that it was so concrete what Christopher was talking about, that place of eating the food. I don't know what it is. And then the conditioned mind gets the information of what it is, and my quote, experience of it completely changes. And in those moments where something like that happens and we're there for it, it's so delightful. It's like, wow, where else is that happening in my life?
Yeah. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see who we've got next. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. All right. So it's been really interesting to listen to the discussion. I actually have not done the last 2 days' assignments, although I have looked at them. But as you know, what I've been looking at is kind of for some time. It occurred to me, or not just occurred, but I've been watching it. I've been watching belief as a process, and you know, seeing that it is a process in itself. Regardless of whatever it is that the mind says I believe and that it says is true, I've been watching there are sensations in the body and there's whatever that tells me somehow that I believe this or that just simply tell me that it is true. And it's been really interesting to see that, sometimes whatever it is so ridiculous. But somehow I, in quotes, believe it. Even it just seems, everything in the body is telling me that I believe this or that it is true, despite the fact that, you know, it's just, in some cases, it's just total nonsense. Anyway, so that's one thing I've been looking at in this.
Let me see if I'm tracking, Jeff, because I think I'm following you, that, which is really interesting, right? That there is something that's a belief, which is a what. But what you're bringing attention to is the process of belief, which is not a what, but a how. And if I'm tracking what you're saying, that for you, you've noticed that there's a way in which the process of beliefs, not just what is the thought in the mind, but there's a way in which at the sensation level, there's a sort of a validation of the belief that assists, that actually reinforces what is true, that it is so. It's not just simply something I'm thinking. It's actually an experience of validation of whatever
and,
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and even that it somehow it seems even more than validation to me. It's that it is what is telling me that this is true. The feeling somehow tells me, that's how I know, in quotes.
Right. Yeah, it's like a subjective knowing.
Right, but by looking to that process, before it becomes conscious that there is a process, there's simply this, I know this, or I believe this, or whatever it is.
So, Jeff, could you give me an example? It might help. It might help.
Okay, sure. Let's see if I can come up with one. So here there are a lot of them along the lines of I believe that X is going to get better or not get better in terms, in quotes, better in terms of my health. There's just this, and there's a lot of stuff about that, you know, kind of personal stuff about the future, like even stuff about what kind of person I am or am not, or what my life is going to be like going forward, what I'm going to be able to do or not do, or what's going to happen or what's not going to happen. There's a lot of unconscious beliefs that tell me all of that, what is true and not true, what is possible and what's not possible, and all that sort of thing.
And it's the, and what you're saying, what you're pointing to is that it's in, it is unconscious. And so when we're in it, that's what's, that is so. Before you get to the conscious place from which you recognize that it's a belief, it's that process of believing.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then some things are easier to say, oh, right, yeah, that's just that process. And others, you know, still seem really real, even though there's some awareness that, okay, but, you know, how do I know that? And,
And do you have a sense, Jeff, of why some are more difficult to disidentify from?
Oh, that's a really great question. I love that. And so I don't know this for sure, but in quotes, no. But what occurred to me when you said that is because some things seem more personal. They seem more like me and who I am. I think at least I'm looking at this, the possibility that there's a stronger identification with some things than others. You know, for there used to be this belief that I was a healthy person. You know, that's just who I am. It was unquestioned. I just expected that I was, you know, I've been healthy. I'm going to be healthy. That was just that wasn't even questioned. And then when health stuff started to come up several years ago, it ran into that belief, you know, because this is not who I am. This is not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And then, you know, now I watch, you know, kind of on both sides, sometimes when the belief is, you know, that I'm going to get healthy, these things that I want to have happen are going to happen. And then other times when there's the belief that that's not true. And then, but to answer your question again, back to process, it seems like some of these seem more like me.
Yes, that there's a greater identification, as you said, with who you are in that way. And I project from what you are saying it's the referencing that makes it much more you, right? So for over a period of time, if healthy is who I am, is the belief around who I am, and that's what's referenced, then being healthy is what feels real because it's more me. And then there's another reference that gets created in conditioned mind that might not be the case, then that becomes more real. Whatever feels more me is less easy to disidentify from, and that's just such an interesting thing for us to be aware of.
Yeah, it really is. to really look at, some things seem like me, but they might be easier to question.
Yeah.
But then there is the, oh, but that's the really me, or, you know, whatever that, you know, it's like, but if I get rid of that, well, you know, who am I? What am I? You know, that,
yeah.
you know, conditioning is like scrambling there, because then I can't find me anymore.
If
I get rid of that.
And at some level, as long as it's as long as the attention is still referencing conditioned mind, we're still in the conversation about who is me. And at some level, the suffering is still there because the reference is still to conditioning, right?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, very good. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. Ashwini, we've got 2 minutes. Do you want to squeeze someone in or do the assignment for today?
Let's just do the assignment for today.
Okay.
We never stick to 2 minutes, Jen. You know that.
Exactly. Yeah, always good to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's hard to stick to 2 minutes. It's just, oh gosh, it's amazing. Again, listening to you and Jeff, I love how everything just completely opens up to allow us to see all of it. And that attitude of mind that I project onto everyone, to be willing to just take the assignment, put it in front of us, and just see everything that we see about it, which, you know, we're just finishing a retreat today. And one of the themes we've been talking about, and we talked about it a lot last night with Sherry and group, is that place of when we have that openness and that fascination, it's a completely different relationship with being a conditioned human. Yes, there is conditioning. Yes, it will come up. But instead of running away from it, we're just turning to sit there and look at it and see what we see. Completely different process.
Yes, and what occurred to me about that, right, Jen, just to take up our last minute before you give us the assignment, is that in being able to be fascinated by conditioning rather than be identified or believing it and suffering, then we develop a muscle of inquiry, which allows us to become more aware of all of what is and what we are and what animates us, right?
Yeah.
It's actually an exit ramp. Fascination is an exit ramp out of a limitation and what limits to something, to the limitless. And that movement, it has to start with becoming aware of what we're not aware of as a process of awareness, because now we can stop just being aware of conditioning and be aware of all of life, all of those aspects that we didn't know how to be aware of, because awareness was not how we were. Awareness is not a state of being. It's not an active process, right?
Yeah.
Awareness of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. So what I saw when you were saying that is that when we're sort of being hunted by it, it's a relationship of fear, and it feels all-encompassing. It feels like that's really my entire experience, even if I'm, quote, ignoring it, right? It's still dictating everything. Whereas when I turn and look at it and I have more of that relationship of, huh, well, how does this work? It actually puts it in perspective and reveals to us the tiny piece of existence that it is. All right, so our assignment for today is, when do you feel safe? Record and listen.
Oh, what a lovely question as a follow-on to that conversation.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yep. All right. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen. Talk to everybody tomorrow.
So happy. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.